This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half. That's your responsibility. Hope everybody's having a good day. Congratulations go out to the Nets for beating the Boston Celtics into a new era.
Wow.
Yeah. You didn't think I'd open with that, did you, Peter?
Beating us into a new era.
Yeah.
Because that's just coincidence.
Let's just put it this way. The Celtics single-handedly destroyed the previous administration of the Nets, and now the Nets have returned the favor and single-handedly destroyed this administration. Danny Ainge retiring at 62. And then Brad Stevens, and this one I don't get. He's considered one of the best young, bright basketball minds as a coach, and they're going to move him up to the front office where he'll, you know, put the team together, and he's going to hire a coach. So the rumors are they're leaning toward Jason Kidd. Good luck with that, Peter. That'll be a lot of fun. He'll be trying to take Brad Stevens' job within a week.
When I heard about all of this, I don't know how you guys felt. When I saw the move of Brad Stevens to replace Danny Ainge, I was like, oh, wow, moving him right up there. And that's a lot of responsibility to also be the head coach. No part of me considered that he would no longer be head coach. Because to the point that you just made, everyone knows what a great coach he is. Do we know that he's a good executive?
No, we have no idea. It's a very, very odd move.
Now, somebody that Peter was rooting for exits, and now somebody that Peter is rooted against may be exiting as well.
Yeah,
not maybe. He's exiting.
That the report is he will coach his last game at the end of next season, and that is Coach K.
Would be a beautiful story, though, Don? A beautiful Christmas story. There's always been thoughts, how would Coach K do in the NBA? And he takes the Celtic job. Oh, baby, reunites with Jason Tatum. Then what would Peter do?
I'd be a Coach K fan.
Yeah.
I'd be ready. I told you, Coach K won me over a little bit last year. He's done some things. I've gotten to appreciate Coach K more. But unfortunately, don't let the black hair fool you. He's like 110 years old. He really is. He's shockingly old.
He's not that old. He's, what, 74?
He doesn't seem like a guy in his 70s to me. He still
looks
like the guy in his
50s. Older. Yeah, I know. He seems young. I'm surprised he's retiring. Does that put pressure on Jimmy B? Jim Boeheim. He's older than Krzyzewski, I think.
Yeah, he
anyway,
is.
Let's get back to the Nets. So one of the big worries about the Nets is that the big three didn't have any time together. Well, now it went from 8 games to 13. And, boy, did they do well in this series.
They did.
And I think that now we've got ourselves a really interesting series. I think that this could be the toughest test for the Nets on their road to a championship because the Bucks are really, really good. I think it's going to be a fun series. I really do. But remember how we ridiculed the Nets for not playing hard enough to actually try to get the number one seed. You know what? If they had, they'd probably be facing the Atlanta Hawks, who I think is a little bit of an easier test than Milwaukee because by finishing second, they put themselves in a position to have to beat the Bucks and then likely the Sixers. So you put yourself behind one big speed bump that you didn't have to because you didn't really play hard enough to get the number one seed. Think about it. Wouldn't you rather be playing the Hawks in the second round?
Or the
Knicks. No, you're not going to. Or the Knicks, but, I mean, that's probably not going to happen. But
no, but, you know.
So now they have to face the Bucks. So those are two. Now Embiid is, we found out today, slight tear of the meniscus. He's day-to-day like all of us. And, you know, if he's not 100%, then the Sixers have no chance anyway. That's why I think that this will be the toughest test for the Nets. And I think that they're going to pass it. I think that they'll probably win in six games.
Well, and I believe the winner of this series wins the title. If Embiid's not 100%, Michael, the winner of this series comes out of the East, and then who in the West is going to beat either of these two teams? Everybody loves the Lakers. Well, now the Lakers face elimination after being embarrassed last night against Phoenix. Now, they can come back and win the next two if AD's healthy, but still, that's a lot of heavy lifting. And I know everybody believes in LeBron, but this is going to be a really tough test. So is Utah going to beat either of these two teams? Phoenix? Denver, who showed a lot last night? Oh, man, was I – that's the most engaged I've been in a basketball game in years.
I figured. Why is that?
In years, because my team came this close, Peter.
Now, why is Portland your team?
I'll never say.
Oh.
Unless they win the championship.
I you know what? I Steph Curry's great, but he doesn't hit threes like that. He doesn't hit threes like that, guys. I mean, listen, Curry's clutch, there's no question. He was throwing off balance from everywhere on the court, and every single one of them meant something. How are they not fouling him? Why do you even let him take up a shot where you can maybe take – where you can – a couple of times he could have gotten – they could have called a foul. We could have went to the line and made it a four-point play. You don't let him take the shot anywhere on the court. That was it stunk that they won because they can't D up anybody, and they miss a dunk, and then – McCollum steps out of bounds. That was a huge meltdown at the end of that second overtime. But, God, was that an entertaining game.
You know what struck me? I didn't even realize it, Peter. Dame Lillard is 32. I kind of always thought he was 26. He's 32. He's running out of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you know he was 32, Peter?
No. I would not have.
I didn't know. He's 30, so Carlin had it wrong. He had him at 32.
Oh, my God. See, this is what
see,
you
this
do.
Is the problem.
This
What's
is the problem?
Problem? I'm listening to Chris Carlin, who I revere.
Right.
He said the guy's 32 and he's not. He's 30?
He's 30 on the dot. He'll be 31 in July.
So he's not 30 on the dot.
No.
So he's 31 in July. So that's one
he's
more month.
He's really pushing 30. He's 31's clearly in his sights. But still, that was wrong information. That was misinformation. And that's going to come up in the conversation at some point later.
Now, to your point, Don, I got to tell you, though, we're all drooling over Lillard. But, man, in the end, how much credit do you have to give Denver for surviving that?
Well, so but again, I bring that up because I as impressive as that win was, and I think I can't see Portland getting up from that, even though they go home. That's a tough loss. But I don't think Denver's beating either of those two teams either. Because they're shorthanded to begin with without Murray. Jokic can't do it all himself, and he certainly did in those overtimes, but that's not enough. So I think the winner of this series wins the championship.
The winner of which series?
Milwaukee Bucks Nets. Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Bucks Nets winner wins the championship.
It's fair.
If Embiid's not 100%, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be.
Even if he
was.
They need
to finish up this series and
even if he was. They're too good. They're too good. Now, did you see the quote? I think he really does this to get a reaction because he can't be this guy. But he said, like, the Nets are, you know, it's going to change the world.
Oh, we have it, Michael.
We have it? Okay.
Oh, we have it. I've heard it several times today.
Third one. Here we go. So Michael Grady of Yes asked Kyrie Irving about fan support.
Classic way, again, in front of your family, in front of this crowd. What does this mean? Again, the Brooklyn faithful showing out.
Oh, man, come on now. We uniting the whole world with this championship run. So I hope everybody with us. We uniting the whole world with this run. Stick with us, baby.
Uniting the whole world?
I mean,
most basketball fans hate the Nets.
Can I tell you what, though?
Yeah.
That's one of those classic examples of where the written down thing looks like a lot more than hearing it.
We're uniting the world.
Yeah, but the way he said it was so cavalier. Like, well, it was such a nothing burger.
He's not a cavalier anymore.
It's a nothing burger because what does it matter? It's not going to cost him the championship or anything. But, you know, there's that sense of arrogance of this championship run. All right, you got out of the first round. All right, it's run a Jace right now, okay? So you're just – because I guess he knows they're going to win the championship. And I think he's smart enough to know – that he knows it's not true, and that's why he's owning. Because he knows that they've got the target on him. I think he was completely being sarcastic. There cannot be an ounce of him that believes that anybody outside of the Nets community is rooting for them.
Well, maybe he's right, though. They are uniting the world against them. I mean, how many people are rooting against them?
That is a good point.
Play it again. I didn't get that sense.
Okay, here we go. Again, this is Michael Grady of Yes.
Classic for you, again, in front of your family, in front of this crowd. What does this mean? Again, the Brooklyn faithful showing out.
Oh, man, come on now. We uniting the whole world with this championship run. So I hope everybody with us. We uniting the whole world with this run. Stick with us, baby.
Well, stick with us. No, I don't think he was going. I think he's just – he knows what's going on, and he's just he's being that guy. And that's fine. They want to build up the classic thing that every team does. It's us against the world. And so he knows that's going to irritate people, and that's why he said it.
He's a great heel. I'm super into this. And to all the wrestling fans out there, the great CM Punk had a run in WWE.
Charles Michael Punk.
That's not it. Chicago made. But anyways, he started a faction called the Straight Edge Society.
Right.
And he would come out because in real life, CM Punk does not drink. He does not do drugs. He has very strong belief system. And in real life, that's who he is. But the character on TV, he took these positive things and he had an attitude about it and looked so down on everyone that even though what he was preaching was good, don't drink, don't do drugs, he still managed to make himself this heel. That's how I feel about Kyrie Irving. He's generally saying great things, but he's also really good at pushing the buttons of the media and the world to make himself inherently sort of the guy you can root against.
He's making it easy.
But it's not with what he said. It's really not with what he says. It's with his approach, the way he sits and looks and talks to the media, the moves like stepping on the logo in Boston, which some people love, but obviously a lot of people hate. He just, like everything he says, all the issues he cares about, I'm in lockstep. And yet I still find him to be a heel.
Because I think he's so smart and he knows what he's doing. Because, again, I'm not saying this word as a negative. Like he's playing the role of heel. He's playing the role of bad guy when he's not really a bad guy. And those are always the best works, right? Like, Carol O'Connor was able to play Archie Bunker because he was the polar opposite of Archie Bunker. And that's what made it work. CM Punk, same thing. He was able to play that because it's the complete opposite of who he really was.
So like
I think Kyrie's a really good guy, but I think he loves playing the role of the heel, and it works so well because I don't think he's a lot more likable than he comes off as, because I just think we're all getting worked here.
Well,
I really
working.
Believe that.
Yeah, I agree. But it's damn entertaining.
I think his game is so great, he doesn't need it.
Yeah, but Michael, let's be honest. Let's really be honest here. This team without the Kyrie character is boring. They're boring.
I was going to say that. How much Nets do we actually really talk about?
We talk Kyrie.
They're boring. They're great. You so great is boring?
Great can be boring.
Sure.
They barely have any competition. You know, and James Harden's one of the most magnificent players I've ever watched. But all he does is his business on the basketball court. He is not an interesting character. He's just a phenomenal player. Same with KD for the most part. KD may have his occasional spats on social media, but when it comes to KD on the court, he's a very straight shooter, no pun intended. Kyrie's the interesting hook of this team.
You know when great's boring? The San Antonio Spurs. They
Seriously.
Were great. They were dominant. They were a dynasty. Snooze fest. They just went about their business. They beat everybody. No controversy. No conversation. Right, Peter? It was like, oh, Spurs again. And I think the Nets, by dominating the way that they are, you know, it really spices things up. And I think there's a massive amount of people that can't stand them. And that just creates – there's going to be a lot of people that hate watch them. But you know what?
Yeah.
Their numbers count too.
And that's and Kyrie is the reason for that. He's the real hate part of it. He triggers a lot of people for different direction, for different reasons. I mean, I have talked to multiple people this week of every ethnic background you can imagine who all have mixed feelings on Kyrie as a character, even though they love how he plays and they generally agree with sort of his socio-political ideals. He still manages to rile people up. So I really do think, I'm with you, Don, I think Kyrie is crazy like a fox, and I think he knows that this character is incredibly polarizing and really the thing that in a lot of ways is getting people to tune in and pay more attention to.
Well, I think the whole basketball world is going to be watching the Nets and the Bucks. It's going to be that good. Maybe that's what he means, uniting the whole world. Everybody's going to be watching. If you're a basketball fan, you're going to watch that. Antetokounmpo is a singular talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how they try to stop the big three. I think it's great. I think, well, I think a sport is in good shape when they have a team that looks unbeatable.
By the way, Michael, you mentioned yesterday Nick Claxton. How good was he in the second half?
He's a good player.
He was scary in the second half, man.
Also an incredibly handsome guy.
Very handsome gentleman. Ups. He's long. He's pretty skilled. I was super impressed with the minutes he got in the third and fourth quarter yesterday.
He's going to be important against the Bucks. They need some size. Now, tonight, the Knicks try to keep their hope alive, and they'll play the Hawks at the Garden. It's going to be a wild, raucous scene. And if you want to be part of that scene, you got a chance. In the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets. Just remember, before we tell you how we'll give them away, you have to be vaccinated to win it. So you have to have the needle in it to win it. Vaccinated to win it.
Ooh, needle in it.
To win it.
To win it.
Right. Wow. In it being the arm, win it, the tickets.
Wow.
Got it?
Yeah.
Needle and arm, tickets in hand.
There you go. Now, this has a little more spice than a possible elimination game would have because of the fact of what Clint Capella said yesterday. And Tom Thibodeau said it will have no effect.
Well, I think the challenge for us is just to stay focused. You know, that's just noise. Just concentrate on what we need to do and be ready for the first quarter. That's it.
And he said, he was asked, how will the team respond with their back against the wall?
Yeah, I think it's all about persistence, determination, your fight. You know, it's playoff basketball. There's ups, there's downs. You have to navigate through it all. And whatever your circumstances are, you have to have the ability to rise above those circumstances. And so this team has done it all year. And just lock in and focus on what needs to be done.
The one thing I would tell Tom is that this isn't the regular season. Yeah, they did answer the bell all the time in the regular season. They've shown this is not the regular season. They have not played like the regular season. They have not come across an opponent with the same resolve as the Hawks have. The Hawks really did feel underappreciated, I think. So you look at this, and I don't know if they can win tonight. I think they will win tonight. I think they will. I think the crowd will lift them. I think that a couple of guys will find games like Bullock, who really has been a non-factor other than the one game the Knicks won. I don't know what Randall's going to do. If he gives you the same thing he gave you in game four, I think they can win. Then you go to game six, and you probably lose there. I don't think they're going to win three in a row. I don't think they're going to advance against the Sixers. I just don't think they will. But I think that they will show a little something-something if they could win this game tonight because they've been outmatched, overmatched, outplayed. And if they can come home in front of a raucous crowd and pull this one out, I think they take a lot more into the offseason than they would if they lost tonight.
Well, every playoff game has value, right? Every one they play for a lot of guys is an extra one that they've ever played. So now they're facing elimination for the first time. How do they handle that? And then if they can buy themselves another game, it's facing elimination again on the road for the first time for a lot of these guys. So I don't give them a good chance. I give them a good chance to win tonight. But then going on the road is going to be the problem. But you look at the first two games of this series, they could have very easily won the first game, and they won the second game. So I think they will play well, and I think they'll win, and they'll force a game six, and every one of those games has value and experience moving forward.
Mark Berman of the Post asked R.J. Barrett how he would judge the season if they can't get out of the first round. So this was following the morning shootout today, and Barrett was a little edgy, and he said, "Why you got to be so negative? I ain't thinking about that. We're winning tonight. I ain't thinking about that. Come on, bro. Stupid butt question."
I don't think he said butt.
No. But I can't say the other word.
Yeah, I guess that should be reserved for after they're eliminated.
What was the exact question again?
How will you view this if you can't get out of the first round? How will you view the year?
What athlete in the world answers that and is just like, "Oh yeah, let me assume we're not going to get out." I hate to not disagree with RJ here, but that is kind of a stupid question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, got a great quote though. So
he did.
It turned
all
exactly what he wanted. So he essentially guaranteed that they'd win.
Well, yeah. Not like Namath or Fossil, but you know, just hey, I'm not worried about that because we're gonna win. It was prompted. It was prodded out of him. I won't list that among the Ewing guarantees.
Well, you never want to do that. Did you see, you know, we missed a birthday yesterday.
Oh no,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, Broadway Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a whiff.
On us, right?
Bad job.
Yeah.
How
bad
did we do
job
that,
by Don?
Don, that's your guy.
You know, I'm going to take responsibility.
You should.
That's the ghost of my dad, maybe wiping it from my memory.
Wow, that's strong.
Yeah, it was something he would do, though.
He would wipe it from your memory.
Yeah.
Because he hated Joe that much.
His guts.
And so how old do you think Joe is? You won't believe it.
74?
No, you're wrong.
Well, figure he came into the league in 60. He was born in 45?
43. He's 78 years old.
See, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, right?
Because he's not 78 in mind or body. He still thinks like he's 15 years old.
I'll tell you what,
though. And I mean that as a compliment, not mentally. Like, he's sharp. I'm just saying that he's a very young man at heart.
Has anybody... How many people in the history of the world have packed as much living into 78 years as Joe Namath?
Well,
he's done a hell of a job.
Right?
He really has.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Right.
And then you figure...
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh. Yeah. I mean, Hugh's the king, I think.
You know, it shows you what animals we are, that, you know, look what we're equating living with. I mean, there are people that do altruistic things that have packed a lot of living into their life, too. I'm embarrassed for us.
No, I just think that we're just men, and we were thinking about just, well, listen, it's not just about the physical aspect of it. I mean, these were people that were great at what they did, right? And they enjoyed life.
You are
and
correct,
And they did
sir.
It in a very interesting way. You'd want to hear, he promised us, he hasn't done it yet. I would want to have dinner with Joe Namath and for the 3 hours we sat down and broke bread not speak about football once.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I think we'd fill those 3 hours and be entertained. I don't know. Listen, I watched the footage. I know everything about Super Bowl III. I'm good. I want to know about a random Tuesday in July.
With Ann Margaret.
Yeah, right there. Ann's an hour.
Now, for all of you out there listening or watching, we've tried. He's a gentleman.
See, that's why he's the best.
Yeah, he will not tell stories. He'll give us an occasional, "She was a bit too lean," but that's about it.
That's what makes him cooler than Will. Will was too free with the information. Namath is like Jeter. Because, you know, Jeter's on that list too. But he doesn't give any information. Those are the classy guys. Because the fact that that dinner won't happen is what makes Joe so great.
Well, it would happen. He's just not going to give us the information
want. But listen, we'll have dinner with him one day, but it won't be the dinner we're talking about.
Right.
Where we're just the three of us are just asking him questions. The fact that he had a response for the Twiggy. And again, I know there's a whole audience out.
That's mean.
And that was on the air he gave that response.
Right. He gave that on the air. I'm sure there's more specifics to why it never connected. But you guys got the internet. Look up Twiggy. Look up Ann Margaret from the 60s. Breathtaking. Breathtaking.
He was in a Noxzema commercial with Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah. I mean, think about it.
And again, these are the ones you know about.
No, we don't even really know. We just know because he did CC and Company with Ann Margaret.
Right.
Twiggy, I just threw out because they were on the same timeline. Right. And the Farrah was a commercial. So we don't even know that. We just know that those – we have confirmation he was in the room with those people. We don't have any stories. For all we know, nothing happened. But we know Joe, which means that there's a very good chance something did.
Wow.
Because Joe was the Mo of the streets.
The Mo of the streets?
That's right. What is that?
He clubs. What
does that mean? Oh, Mariano.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Mo streets. From the Three Stooges.
Wait a minute. Why would he enter your mind when we're talking about Joe Namath?
Mo from the Three Stooges did very well. I don't know if you realize that.
I'm sure he did.
Same thing like Albert Einstein.
Is this your Einstein theory, too?
Yes. No, it's not a theory. It's been written. Einstein was the man.
I refuse to believe that.
E equals MC squared means something you don't even know.
Right.
You don't even know where that came from.
You don't know who
I apologize
was.
For the fifth or sixth grade turn this show has taken, but this is what we are.
This is who we are.
This is what interests us.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Can you imagine the things that Einstein would have accomplished if he wasn't derailed by his interest in the opposite sex?
Oh, so you're saying he was held back by this?
Oh, he would have been so much smarter.
Hmm.
I don't know how
he'd
be much smarter.
And at the end of his life, his hair looked a lot like Don's if Don didn't slick it back.
According to my wife.
How much longer you got, Don?
Maybe Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
Okay. So she just spit it out, right? She didn't even, it wasn't even a soft sell. She said, you look hideous with that hair.
Well, she said, you look like Albert Einstein. Do you really think you look good?
Oh, wow. Did you feel hurt? Did you feel hurt, honestly?
No.
There was not a pang of hurt.
No. I mean, she didn't leave me.
But she said, you really think you look good? And I do think you look good.
I do. Why can't you do some things for yourself?
I guess she doesn't think that way. It's all about the soft open for Legoland. That's what started this all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We've got a lot of stuff to do. And we're giving away Nick tickets in the 3 o'clock hour. And we're going to talk more Einstein and Namath as well. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hey, everybody. It's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
Now, what happened yesterday is I had my top five complaints about sports on the Michael Kay Show. But then you guys started guessing like actual complaints about the show. And I said, you know what? I'm going to come up with a top five for that. So I gave you a homework assignment. Peter completely forgot.
Yep.
Michael, I don't know if you thought about it at all.
I did a lot.
So the guesses should be coming from Michael for sure, and I think Peter will be able to contribute as well. So the top five fan complaints about the show.
I'll go first. Yankee boy.
Oh, Michael, it's number one.
Yeah.
What a great pull by Michael. Yes, and obviously it's not true, and I can recite chapter and verse. You called him embarrassing on the air yesterday. So you're not Yankee boy, but that is something that a lot of non-Yankee fans and maybe even some Yankee fans think of Michael. It's all perception. It's not true, but it is the number one complaint. Great poll, Michael. Great poll.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how you came up with that. I'll keep it to myself as well, like Michael did, and I'll go me talking about the Washington football team.
Yeah, that's a good poll as well. That is number two. I thought about it number one, but still, when it's between Michael and Peter, you know, Michael's got to be number one. But, yeah,
True.
Whether it's asking a question way too early in an interview with Kurt Herbstreit, whether it's just randomly bringing up your analogy about the Redskins as if they are. And I say Redskins because this is nothing new. I mean, this has been going on for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Whether it's the Redskins or the Washington football team.
Sure.
Completely inappropriate, but you know what? You're you, and the fans complain about it all the time, and it is number two on the list. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
Don talks too much.
That's your complaint, Michael. I never heard
that. That's a great point.
Peter's arm hair.
No. I mean, people do complain about it, but who are you taking out? And we'll evaluate that later. I thought about it because it is a complaint. I think it's unjust as well. I think it's
no, really take a look at his apish arms. Don't say it's unjust.
How about they're not in your face.
How about Peter and wrestling in some way?
No. I think people enjoy that about you.
Oh, thank you.
Who are you taking out?
Wow.
Okay, hold on. Michael, all we have so far are the two basic complaints about us.
Yeah, because there's not much to complain about with this show.
It's such a quality
show.
It's a great show.
It was tough.
Don, are any of the complaints about you?
One.
The Daily Don, you moron!
The Daily
what do you
Don.
Think it is?
It's not the Daily Don. There are a lot of complaints.
I know.
Yeah.
We don't talk enough hockey.
Oh, that's number five. And it's so irritating. This is coming from a hockey fan that the few times we do talk hockey, what does the caller about hockey usually do? Spend 3 minutes talking about how we never talk about it. And that's been going on since the infancy. So, yeah, that's number five. But that's not about me. But a great poll, Michael. Great poll.
So there's another one about Don.
Yeah. It infuriates me.
Oh, that rants are made up, are fake?
Yeah. Good call, Peter.
Yeah.
That my rants are fake. Now, this is usually a social media complaint more so than people saying it on the air because they don't have the guts to confront me in person. But that just drives me crazy. Something that I can maybe go like 300 days without, that's fake. That's number three on the list.
So we have number four available now?
Number four.
How about a hint? I know. I got one. Okay. Bear barking during the show.
No.
No.
Who are you taking? I never heard anybody. You complain about it.
Well, that's top complaint.
But you're not a fan of the show.
All right. What's it related to, Don?
It's related to our callers.
Oh, I know.
Huh?
How you doing?
Hello?
Roll call.
Again, that's your complaint.
Roll call.
Well, hey.
Yeah, that's really a you complaint more than the audience.
No, man.
Oh, but they could never get through.
It's in that area.
They're on hold too long.
No.
Close. Oh, I know. Ira and Spike have inside line.
There you go, Michael. Great poll. Great poll. Regulars have a different phone number. I get that. How does Ira get through all the? How does Spike get through all the? They must have a backdoor number. They must have a secret number. No, they know how to do it because they spend a lot of time dialing the phone. So that's the top five complaints of the show. Number five, we don't talk enough hockey. Number four, regulars have a different number. Number three, Don rants are fake. Number two, Peter and the Redskins / Washington football team. And number one, Kay is Yankee boy.
You know, it's really a testament to how wonderful the show is that you couldn't have 10 of them. I mean, we really had a stretch to get five. Show is so perfect.
Yeah, because I thought about Peter's arm hair. Who are you taking out? But are you taking any of these out for Peter's arm hair? I thought about, like, people complaining about what Michael's wearing.
How about Ballard, like, terrible phone call? People complained about that.
You complained.
Ballard! No, a lot of people complained. A lot of people on Twitter, I looked at it yesterday after the show, they thought that Peter's golf joke that he told was written by Ballard. It just took so long to get out.
By the way, that's how jokes are told. It wasn't that long a joke.
Okay, Shecky.
And I got a message. I got a couple of tweets, too. That was the worst joke ever. But I mean, people just don't understand.
It was
comedy.
A good joke. It did take a long time to tell.
Well, it's really a joke. It's a real joke.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe. Michael, you went Shecky. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shecky Green.
Could have gone with Jerry. That wouldn't have. It's too new. No, Shecky's perfect.
Shecky was the way to go.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, so the Yankees with a big win yesterday.
Oh, that was a great call too, Michael.
Really? You think so?
Well, because I think you spoke for Yankee fans that you really needed that. That's the way you said it. I thought that was very good.
What was the call, Don?
Well, when we come back, we'll hear it. And also,
really?
The Yankees are working on something as we speak right now that kind of is afflicted them through most of the first third of the season.
And also, too bad I'm busy, but yeah, I could swing by the Somerset Patriots tonight, Michael.
Yeah, because Zach Britton's starting.
Zach Britton's making the start.
Why are you busy? What are you doing?
Just not going to the game.
Oh,
I've dressed it up a little bit. But
you're probably going to
go. Gone twice already. How many times
have
I got to go?
Zach Britton! Wow. Kay LeGregor Rosenberg and you talking Yankees too and giving away Nick tickets in the 3 o'clock hour. Stay tuned right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to the show. Later on in this hour, we're giving away tickets to tonight's Knicks-Hawks Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. And before you even try to win, when we give you the prompt, remember you have to be vaccinated. So Don just did top 5 complaints about the K-Show. A really big listener to the show, Stephen Kolditz, tweeted out, show is a 10 out of 10. And then he said in John Sterling's voice, however, okay. Top 5 show complaints by Stephen. RJ's bet segment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fair.
Keyshawn.
Well, you know, I don't agree, but hey.
ENN not long enough anymore. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Missed drop opportunities.
Okay.
That's.
And this one's not bad. No merchandise.
We had the shirts. How can they get the shirts? I'd like to know because I'd like to have one.
We don't have them yet.
No.
It's kind of held up in abeyance, let's put it that way.
No, but the shirts we had at the last Beach Bash with the cartoons of us.
Oh, those are all
us.
Gone. They're gone. They're used at car washes around the first
day. Well, why don't we just keep making them then? And we sell them.
I would agree. I'm all for money. All for money. So as we speak right now, the Yankees are working on base running. Good idea. They have not been very good at base running. Gary Sanchez did something that I just couldn't believe I was seeing. He opened up the inning and doubled. And everybody in a little league team, you don't run to the next base unless there's a force if the ball's hit in front of you. The ball was hit in front of him. And he's thrown out at third base. I mean, it made no sense. And this comes on the heels of what he did over the weekend in Detroit. Yankees have had more base runners thrown out on the bases than any team in baseball by a lot. They've had, I think, 28 players thrown out on the bases, and the major league average for a team is 15. Stunning. Really stunning. But they did win the game. Their bullpen was great again. 6 shutout innings. Herman was okay. 5 innings, 3 runs. And they won it on a walk-off home run by Clint Frazier in the 11th inning. And one quick aside before we let Peter hear the call. Don, did you watch that live?
Yes.
Okay. He hit the snot out of that ball.
Right.
The snot out of it. And stood there and admired it. And it barely made the first row.
I thought the same thing. Now, I'm not going to kill him for styling. He's had such a difficult year. And the way he hit it, I'm like, this is going to be like that Judge hit. He's going to hit like the wall.
Right.
And then I was shocked. Like, it went out. It wasn't like catchable or anything, but I was really surprised that didn't
what was it, like just a handful of rows?
No, it was in the first row. And if Margot got back to the wall, he had a chance to catch it if he timed his leap. And, you know, they're showing the replay now on Yes, and Frazier is styling. Now, I understand because the run would have scored anyway, because if it wasn't a home run, it would have gone off the wall. Margot didn't get back. But I just wanted to bring that point up for everybody because of the fact the ball is definitely dead.
Yes.
They have deadened the baseball, so they've accomplished what they wanted. We're in the middle of the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And here's the call, Peter, that everybody's raving about. We're really just gone. This is the ending of the game.
Drill deep to left field. Going back, Margot, turning, looking, see ya. Walk it off. A two-run home run for Frazier. And the Yankees win 5-3. Oh, did they need that?
Yeah, that's what I loved about it.
Thank you.
Every Yankee fan was thinking that same thing. Boy, they really needed that one.
Yeah, that was a big win for them. And, you know, a lot of people called in, yes, well, when should we get nervous? And I said, well, you can, worry now. Because I think it's going to be heavy lifting for them. Because I think that the way the game has evolved now, where balls don't fly out, and they are built to hit home runs and win. And if they don't hit home runs, it's hard for them to win because they don't create runs. They do not have people that run the bases very well. They don't have a lot of speed on their team. So it's going to be tough. Does that mean they're not going to make the playoffs? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's not going to be easy. Because I thought they'd run away with the American League East this year. I thought they'd run away with it. I don't think they're going to run away with it. Do I think they can make the playoffs? Yeah, I do. I don't know if they're going to make a move or not. But if the team stays the way it's presently constituted, again, it will be heavy lifting. This is not going to be an easy playoff team. Because they've got a lot of guys hit the ball out. The ball's not going out the way it used to. Very quietly, DJ LeMahieu is having a below-average season. And, you have a center fielder where you're not getting any production out of it. You got left field where you're not getting any production out of that. You got first base, you're not getting any production out of that. They just sent down Mike Ford after the game yesterday. They brought up another pitcher, Brooks Kreske. So there's a lot of if you read Joel Sherman's column in the Post today, it's really good, where he talked to an American League executive. He said, there are ways to get out power hitters. I mean, power hitters have holes in their swing. That's why sometimes they struggle in the postseason. Because power hitters essentially hit out mistakes. And if you pitch them well, they're going to strike out. So since the Yankees don't create runs, it's going to be difficult for them to score unless somehow there's a batch of the old baseballs that get slipped into games. Baseball wanted to not have as many home runs this year, and I think it's adversely affecting the Yankees. Maybe it's helping their pitching because their pitching's terrific. Pitching has really kept them above water. But, the offense that I thought was going to dominate, Don, it's not going to dominate because too many important people are struggling, and the only guy that's really having a terrific year is Aaron Judge. That's it. That's it. That's the only guy in that lineup that's having a terrific year. LeMahieu is not. Urshela has had a big drop-off lately. Gleyber Torres has two home runs, a guy who hit 38 home runs a couple of years ago in a season. Odor will get big hits. He doesn't obviously he doesn't hit for average. First base has been a black hole for them. And, everybody wants to jump on Gary Sanchez. Gary Sanchez is actually an above-average catcher when it comes to offense right now. He is. He's actually an above-average catcher. Again, you get right field. So Judge is either DH or right field. You got good production out of there. You have no production out of center. You have no production out of left. Maybe yesterday's home run snaps Clint Frazier out of it. And Duhar has been pretty good for them. DH position, you had that 12-game run where Stanton was as good as anybody in the league. Now he can't get out of his own way. He hasn't even gotten a hit since coming off the IL. There's a lot of question marks offensively. None of the pitching in the bullpen. That bullpen's been great. Their starting rotation was absolutely outstanding too, but now you extract Corey Kluber out of there. There's some question marks. So, Yankee fans, don't get down on the fact that they can't make the playoffs, but just realize this. It's not going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to be some heavy lifting for them to get there because they do not have easy wins. They're not an easy win team anymore, Don.
No, and every game is going to be so important. So, one of the other complaints about, like, from a sports perspective that we could have listed yesterday was just complaining about the Yankees lineup and the guys getting days off. Are you going to be able to afford to do that, Michael, when you get to September? and every game is going to be so vitally important. You know, the years the Yankees make the playoffs, they usually mop up on a lot of bad teams, and there's a lot of bad teams out there. But what happened with Detroit over the weekend, Michael, just shows you they can't take any game for granted. So you hope that the rest that they're giving guys now are going to be so they can really push them when they're going to need it down the stretch. I don't think if this team makes the playoffs, I don't see them clinching a few weeks before the season is over. They're probably going to – this is going to probably go down to the wire. So you're going to need all hands on deck. Are they going to be able to afford to treat these guys with kid gloves and giving them days off with big games down the stretch?
No. I mean, that's why you give them off now. But it is concerning that, you know, how they're slow-walking Stanton back. So obviously they don't think he's 1,000%. Because they keep resting him. They rested him yesterday, although he pinch hit. I think he's like 2-for-30 as a pinch hitter in his career. So he made it out when he pinch hit. But, you know, you rest them now, so you have them every single game in September. But what's that going to mean? I think they've done a great job with Judge. He's played more games than anybody on the team. Again, we're still waiting for the call from the guy who said that Judge isn't a good player. He's never called back, oddly. Strange. But he's been tremendous. But it shows you how RBIs are really an overrated stat, because an RBI producer is beholden to his teammates. Nobody has been as good as Judge, and he has just 30 runs batted in. He's not even in the top 10 in the American League. There's nobody on base. LeMahieu's not on base. So that's a problem in itself. Will the Yankees make a deal? I don't know. I don't know if they have anything down in their farm system that's going to help. I thought they maybe would call up Gittens today by sending down Ford, but they didn't do that. They called up another pitcher because they had six innings out of the bullpen last night. And this week really will tell the Yankees exactly where they are. Let's say they split these four games with the Rays. Now, tonight's a big game with Jordan Montgomery on the mound against Shane McClanahan. You win this, and then you have Gerrit Cole going tomorrow. And, boy, does that change the perspective. If you could take 3 out of 4 from the Rays when they came in here having won 15 of their last 16 games, that's a big pick-me-up for you. And then the Red Sox come to town. So you could make a statement, or a statement could be made about you. But I think the one statement that is been proven positive over the last couple of weeks with the Yankees is not going to be easy. It's just not.
No.
And they're not going to bludgeon people to death anymore. They're not. That's not how baseball is now.
And another thing about beating the Rays 3 out of 4, if indeed you do that, that's two straight series wins against the Rays. So maybe you can put some distance between yourself and, oh, you can't beat the Rays. Now, you didn't do it the postseason, but you can only do what you can do the rest of the way. And then I think they only have two series left with them after this series. So you don't have to worry about them until, I think, later in the season. Because I think tomorrow that'll be the, 13th game you played against them already.
Yeah, you only have two more series. I think the next one is late July and then after that in September.
Yeah, so you get them out of the way, and then you got the Red Sox, and we'll find out what they're about, but they're not seeming to go away. And Toronto's right there too. So you've got a four-team race. Orioles finally snapped their 14-game losing streak, by the way, last night, beating the Twins. But outside of the Orioles, you got a four-team race. And as you astutely put it yesterday, Michael, Toronto's been doing this without Springer.
Right.
So, yeah, you're going to have four teams battling for what, Michael? Let's see. Houston's – so how many teams can come out of the West here?
Well, Houston's good. Yeah. Oakland's good. So you're going to have to battle Oakland for that second spot, Houston or Oakland with the second spot.
Right. So one will win the division, one gets the wild card. So maybe you're looking at four teams with two spots, because I don't know if you'll get a wild card out of the Central.
I don't think you will.
So you're probably looking at four teams battling for two spots. But again, that second spot, that wild card, is one and done.
Yeah.
And that's great if you've got Cole pitching the game, but you might need Cole to make sure you get that spot towards the end of the year. So, you know, that's the kind of year it's going to be. You know, and Yankee fans have every right to complain. I didn't like that Sanchez at bat when he had a chance to walk it off last night and struck out. But, you know, you're right there. And if you can get this series, if you can get today and then you got Cole tomorrow and take 3 out of 4 against Tampa, that gets a little of the flavor of the weekend against the Tigers out of your mouth.
That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Don't know how many people heard it because it was so late, but Bob Brenly, the broadcaster for the Diamondbacks, said something really dumb on the air.
Oh, yeah, it sure did.
They were showing Marcus Stroman on the mound, and Marcus wears a do-rag under his baseball cap. And a lot of players do that because if you wear a baseball cap all the time, you're going to inevitably go bald because you're just cutting off all air circulation from your head. You see a lot of ex-players go bald. So I think they just use the do-rag, and a lot of players are doing it just to protect their hair. I don't know why Marcus does it, but he does it. And why would you even bring it up? And Bob Brenly, you know, the Mets have the number 41 on their sleeve to honor Tom Seaver. He said, yeah, that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear. Saying, I mean, what a terrible thing to say. And now he came out today and apologized, and he said he called up Marcus Stroman and that the Diamondbacks suggested that he go through sensitivity training. Awful look. Awful. Why even say something? Why even go there?
That's the point. Like, do I think he's a racist? No. But it's being tone deaf is what it is. And it's unacceptable. I mean, I'm sorry, you're a broadcaster. That's just not the right thing to say.
Yeah, it's just about like what it harkens, the feeling it's supposed to make you, the comment that the way it could be taken or the way that I took it when I heard it initially was like, oh yeah, we're a long way from Tom Seaver. You know, the same do-rag he used to wear, as if players now wearing a do-rag in some way suggests anything that is worse than or not as pure in baseball terms as the days of Tom Seaver. And to do that over a player choosing to wear a do-rag, which is something that predominantly is going to be done by African-American players, yeah, it's a really bad look. And I was glad that people made a stink about it and saw Marcus comments on it and glad that he reached out and apologized.
Here's his statement. During last night's game, I made a poor attempt at humor and was insensitive and wrong. I apologize to Marcus Stroman, and I've reached out directly to share those thoughts. I've had several conversations with the D-backs, and we agree that seeking sensitivity training is an important step so that I can continue to learn from my mistakes in order to be better in the future.
See, it's that old bit of why can't things be the way it was when I was a ball player? Or back in the day when things were better. And it just sends that kind of negative, like, change isn't good. And people can't be themselves. Like, listen, Brenly didn't play that long ago. But when he did play 30 years ago, Michael, the sport was different.
Yep.
And now it's suggesting that because guys want to have a little bit of free expression, that that's a bad thing. And things were better back in the day. And I think you've got to – that's why I say tone deaf, because I don't think you realize – the message that you're sending out or the negativity that's being brought out. Listen, you know, you cannot like it. Like I've said it many times on the air, Michael, whether it was Bip Roberts or whether it was Fernando Rodney wearing the hat crooked, like that bothered me. I didn't like it, you know, but I think it's one thing not to like it, but to say it and joking fashion like that, when you're
it's another thing though, Don, to do it.
A lot of people it's not a good look.
Well, it's another thing to do it for a fashion choice, and another to do it about something that is inherently cultural. You know, it's wrong.
See that's a great way to put it, Peter, because I think that's what we're insensitive to, right? Is that we kind of lump everything together as it being disrespectful. And not thinking for a second that maybe nobody's trying to be disrespectful. Nobody's trying to stand out, be different. It's just they've got it's cultural. It's just something that they feel like they need to do. You know, and it doesn't always have to lumping it all together where, he was suggesting that Stroman in some way, shape, or form is being disrespectful to the game. Now, do you really think that was the case? Or is it maybe something that you just don't get?
I don't think he was suggesting that. I think it was a comment about why is he wearing a do-rag? Tom Seaver didn't.
Right. That's how I see it, too.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with the guy. When Stroman said it had racial overtones, I think it did have racial overtones. And I'm not one guy who puts everything in a racial prism.
But no, that's the only way to look at
that. That was racial overtones. I'm sorry.
Right. And it's like that's the difference between someone who wears their hat tilted, you know, or decides to, you know, wear their pants long or whatever it is that you try to do that's different. You can have conversations then about the fashion choice, But to suggest that it's like, oh, it's not the good old days because the players are wearing do-rags. Like, how about – just keep in mind this is a sport where, you know, it's not that distant a memory that black ball players couldn't even play in this league. So it was a poor moment for him. But glad he put out that statement and took it seriously.
And also Luis Rojas, speaking before today's game, which will start shortly, said those comments were totally inappropriate. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. So I'm actually heading to the game tonight and looking forward to it. You know, it was a great game last night. Excellent call by you. And, you know, it's great to see Clint Frazier have that that amazing catch, the web jump, which is awesome. And then to have the walk-off home run. But, you know, I'm just curious, is he actually going to start tonight, or is he going to go with the usual Yankees philosophy where you have a really great game and then you sit on the bench for a day or two? What do you think? Yeah,
the Yankee lineup's not out yet. And I thought about this a lot, Andrew, because Andujar is hitting very well too. So how would you play him, especially who's going to sit? Is it going to be Andujar? Is it going to be Frazier? Maybe you take a chance with Frazier in center field today. I'm intrigued. It's a great question by you because there's ways that he can sit. Because even if you play him in left, then you're sitting Andujar, and Andujar had a home run in yesterday's game as well.
Yeah.
And if you play Stroman, if you play Stanton, then he can be the DH. So how are you going to fit? Maybe here's an idea. They'll have Andujar at first because you already sent down Ford. You have Andujar at first, Frazier in left, Gardner in center, Judge in right. And then you would DH Stanton.
Listen, I get it that these days off are usually forecasted ahead of time and all that. And it wasn't just a good game. It was the game. I mean, the game-saving catch and the walk-off, you got to reward that, especially a guy that's struggling. Get him a chance to play, right? It's one thing that if you're already an established player, all right, we got to give you a day off. But this is a guy that's been looking for that moment. And this could be the start of something. You got to play him. I'm sorry. That would be inexcusable if he didn't.
We are waiting on their lineup. We'll get it to you as soon as we get it. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We still are going to give away those Nick tickets for tonight's game.
Yep.
Sometime in this hour, we'll continue to take your phone calls as well. Ian O'Connor will join us at 4:30. Coach K announced today he is retiring at the end of the upcoming college basketball season, much to the dismay of Peter Rosenberg.
Oh, sad to see this.
K, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, congratulations go out to Jonathan Camacho from Brooklyn. He won the Knick tickets for tonight. And I'm always curious, Andrew, because you're the one who gets to tell these people that they won. What was his reaction?
Incredibly excited. He actually said he was shaking. He was so excited.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
See, you make people happy, Andrew.
Yeah, it's worth it. Those callers that I make happy, for all the many that I don't let on the air for any reason that hate my guts.
Right.
I'll take the trade for the few that I make really, really happy.
There you go.
We see, we need an Andrew top five complaints about the show through his eyes.
Well, I know what number one is. People that call the caller line when there's a contest.
Absolutely. He drives me nuts.
He can't deal with it. He just hates it. Now, little inside info here. I never, ever, like, embrace the, I don't know how you do it, Michael, with the two jobs. But I don't know how I'm doing it this last week. I don't. I am not sleeping. I don't know why, Don. I'm not sleeping at night. I'm like a walking zombie. It's the worst. You ever have trouble sleeping?
Not since the kids.
I cannot sleep. And I don't like it. It's amazing and also a testament to the incredible talent I bring to the show every day that I'm able to get through it.
I thought you were going to say it's a testament to me and the fact that by the time I get here, I've already done at least one radio show that day.
Testament to
show.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, when you are, you know, splashing around in your bath fit or bathroom, I'm doing a Yankee game after this.
You think I'm just splashing around with a rubber ducky all night?
Well, I don't know if it's a rubber ducky, but
I have an album out Friday. I have interviews to do.
Tell us about the album. Come on.
What do you want to know, Michael?
How do we get it?
Be honest, Michael. Do you have any idea what me putting out an album even really means?
Of course I do. I think it's a really significant, big thing. I'm very proud of you. I'm not even joking.
But I mean, but do you understand?
Because I know it's a life's dream for you.
Well, it is something I'm super proud of, and it's 13 songs. It's coming out Friday. You can stream it on all your favorite streaming services or buy it on iTunes, however it is you listen to music. But yeah, it was a real. It was a real process getting all these artists to do these songs, and I think I put it together in a way that I'm super proud of. I did an interview this week, actually, with a website, and they asked me about my all-time favorite compilations, soundtrack, DJ compilations, whatever. And, Don, you'll appreciate this given where you're from. You know what I put on my list that might surprise some people?
What's that? Build
Me a Buttercup.
No, that did not make the list.
No.
The Garden State soundtrack. Did you ever see Garden State, Don?
Oh, sure.
And now that's Zach a different.
Zach Braff and what's her name from the Star Wars movies?
Natalie Portman.
Yes.
And
very avant-garde. Very. It's an interesting movie. I like it.
It's also quintessentially Jersey in its own way, right? In a different way than some of the other ways we've seen. But you know, Zach Braff actually won a Grammy for that soundtrack.
Really, I did not know that.
I like that movie too.
It's a beautiful soundtrack. Now, the difference, of course, between what I'm doing and what he did for that is that I had to get all these songs made and executive produce them all. He just made sort of a beautiful playlist for his film. But it's just so cohesive. And so that was my number one goal, was to put something together that when people hit play on Friday, it doesn't sound like a random collection of songs, but it sounds like songs that actually go together. And I'm hopeful people will feel that way.
Well,
also,
we wish
Michael,
you the best of luck with it.
And also, in a process to promote, do you know what I did yesterday that I thought I'd never do?
What's that?
I joined TikTok.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. You want to know what it feels like to feel old? Try signing up for TikTok at 41 and having no idea what the hell you're doing.
Sad.
Really sad. I need help, people.
I am going to shock some Yankee fans right now. Are you ready?
A lineup?
Yeah, and it's a shocker.
All right.
Today's Yankee starting lineup is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Leading off and playing first base, DJ LeMahieu. No surprise, right?
None.
Batting second, DHing, Giancarlo Stanton. We expected that.
Okay.
Batting third is Aaron Judge, playing center field. Surprised?
Wow. Yeah.
Cleaning up, third base, Gio Urshela.
Hmm.
Gleyber Torres at shortstop bats fifth, batting sixth, second baseman Rougned Odor. Gary Sanchez will catch. He's going to bat seventh. Batting eighth, playing left field, Miguel Andujar. And the right fielder, batting ninth, is Clint Frazier with Jordan Montgomery starting.
So weak.
What's weak?
No Frazier.
Frazier's in there.
He just said
Frazier. I'm sorry. I missed.
You know, it's tough, though.
You know, because I'm National League boy. So I zoned out on batting ninth because I'm National League boy.
Well, National League boy, James McCann hit a 3-run home run off Madison Bumgarner in the first, so the Mets are up 3-0.
I'm struggling here with my YouTube.
Really?
Oh no.
Well, because I restrict things for the kids, although they still find videos that I got to take it away from them.
What? So because you're restricting them, you can't find the game?
Well, because I have my restricted thing on, and now it's not letting me watch the game, and I got to figure out how to get it off.
Have you ever seen Don with his restricted thing on?
No, I've heard it's something.
It's quite a look.
Listen, you got to do it.
Got to.
Now,
listen,
don't
mock devices. It makes me a bad parent. I get it. But you'd be surprised the things
you can do when you hand
them a device.
No, no. Don, you will never, ever get criticism from me. Because we had weaned our children off devices right before the pandemic hit. Then you have kids that are in the house constantly. Now we can never, ever turn back the clock. They are addicted to it. Addicted to it. It's scary,
but
you're right. It's the greatest babysitter ever invented. Thank you to Al Gore.
But you got to make sure, because Jalen's okay with the kids' YouTube. Marco's too, you know, that's nothing to him. He needs a superhero fix. So, and there's videos that are taken from video games where, like, the Hulk is fighting Spider-Man. He loves those, and they're fine. It's a tad bit on the violent side, but, you know, so we grew up on Bugs Bunny, and we were okay. But you got to be careful, because now he's on the actual YouTube. He can discover anything, Peter.
All right, so let me ask you a question. This is where I want to take this before the break. You're walking by him. He's on the iPad. He's watching hardcore porn. What do you do?
What do I do? God. Sit down and join in? No, I take the device away.
But what do you say to him? You've got to. You can't just rip the device away. You've got to explain to him why that's not a good thing.
I don't think he's at the age where he needs any explaining. He would just think there's wrestling going on.
But what if he's watching and he's got a silly grin on his face?
I think explaining it does too much damage. Just take it away and pretend it never happened.
How old is Marco?
3.5.
Michael,
so he's not
going to
understand any of that stuff.
Michael, if to your point, he walks by his 3.5-year-old,
right,
fully engaged and engrossed in, as you put it, hardcore
sex
porn,
right,
and he's got a huge grin on his face.
Huge.
If that happens at 3.5 years old, Dom might have to accept that that's his calling.
Instructional porn.
You cultivate that talent. You make it work for you and your family.
Right. And you think, you know what? Maybe the whole family could do well from this.
But there's one video he keeps stumbling upon. It's a pop artist.
And
I forget her name, but it's not a bad song. But she's got like these teeth, and they're pulling teeth, and it's bloody, and I try to get it away, and even with the restricted, it still keeps popping up. I'm trying, so you got to stay on top of this.
Now, what would you do if you walk by the and one of them is watching the Megan the Stallion vehicle that was
the
big
WAP
hit.
Vehicle,
yeah, the WAP sure. vehicle.
He's not gonna figure what's going on there.
Oh no, no, no! He'll figure it out.
I saw the video.
You didn't figure it out? I'll tell you during the break.
No, I figured it. I'm just saying, at 3.5, he's not putting anything together there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Listen, these are the least of your concerns. We all worry about that stuff, which in the end is what it is. You're going to get to enjoying that at some point either way. We're not focused on the fact that at a couple years later, people are playing violent video games all day long. Their brains are turning to mush. I think if we were to ask the average parent listening to this show, the main thing on their mind is keeping their kids away, or hoping they can keep their kids away from the screen for 5 minutes.
You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. And when all their friends are on, it's impossible.
And we're so done for as society, because it's so addictive to kids. And once they're in, they're stuck for life. You guys had the benefit. You guys were like 50 by the time screens even came out.
And it's amazing, too. There's something they put in these movies. Like, Star Wars, I'm now convinced Star Wars might be the greatest franchise in the history of anything. And that's counting McDonald's, whatever you want to throw out there. Because
why is that?
3.5, Marco, all day. Dun, 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 dun. The movie's 40 years old. He's only seen it like a couple of times, and I'm not even sure he saw it straight through. But he wants everything Star Wars, and all he does, dun, 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 dun.
Maybe he's just saying your name.
No. Don, Don, Don. All right. That's today's Yankee Starting Lineup, brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. A lot of people are cracking up where I went with the screen. It's amazing
they didn't
what
expect
resonates
that.
With people.
They're not big listeners to the show, because you always go there. I'm surprised you didn't take it the step further.
What do you mean? Oh, that? No, I wouldn't.
That's where you always end up going. Now, I don't know how you find that on YouTube, but.
Well, I don't even know what you're suggesting.
I don't even know what he's talking about this time.
Because he already went there.
Time. Usually you go the snuff film route.
Oh, dear God.
That's you. You're the one who does that stuff.
Stop. Andrew, please come in. Be the arbiter of this.
Who brings that up
all the time?
Because you're the one who, you know, like, if some terrible thing happens, you have to see it. You have to, like, digest it.
Not dad.
You never unsee it.
Not dad.
Oh, I know that. But still, people dying, you do stuff like that. You're sick.
But not that particular genre of film.
I get it. I understand it.
Andrew, who brings that up, me or Michael?
The nudes are back.
No, I mean, Michael has brought that up before.
But if you ever watch one of those films, I would not.
I would
do a
never
show with
watch that.
I would never.
I took out
I would,
the happy
I would
organ.
I would quit the show if you ever did that.
There's a fine line between morbid curiosity and in seeking those types of things out. Not that.
Okay.
Don, have you considered showing the kids Hard Bodies yet, or is it too?
You know what's interesting? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, mind you, up against the Yankee game on Saturday.
Yeah.
On Channel 9.
Okay.
With the Yankees on 11.
Okay.
Hard Bodies.
Wow.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Channel 9. Now, I'm sure they edited that down into like a fine powder.
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984.
What network decides to throw that on a Saturday afternoon on a holiday weekend?
Well, what better time to enjoy it? Anyway, we'll take a brief time out. Got a lot of stuff to do. More of your phone calls. Yankees, Mets, Knicks playing tonight. Nets have dispatched with the Celtics and had them change their entire organization. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Maybe what do I do? God. Sit down and join in?
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Yes. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're enjoying the proceedings. The Knicks against the Hawks tonight. And I say with total certitude.
I knew you'd say certitude.
It is a must win for the Knicks.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you how they should do it. And it's going to sound bad. I don't mean to have it sound bad. They have essentially been punked by the Hawks. They have been out physical by the Hawks. And when they tried to get physical, it came off as minor league. You know, the foul on Gallinari by Randall, please stop. And then Bullock, like, charging the bench of the Hawks, stop. Child's play. You have to turn back the clock to 1994 and really foul these guys hard. I don't mean hurt them. I don't mean, like, hit them on the neck or anything like that. But when Trae Young has the ball, if he dares to go into the paint, punish him. Absolutely punish him. Same thing with Clint Capella for opening his mouth. You're under the basket. Elbow him. Give him a nice elbow. See how he reacts to that. You have to pull out all stops. You have to be as aggressive and physical as the rules let you get away with. Don't be dirty, because then you're going to get thrown out of the game. But be aggressive in a smart way. Make them know that every time they have the ball, they're going to have to pay a physical price for it. Every single time. And I would actually, if I was Thibodeau, I'd use Ntilikina a lot more. Ntilikina, he's not an offensive threat, but he could really slow down Trae Young, I believe. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The one time they brought him in for defense with him, you know, that was the game winner in game one. He didn't play that well, but also you took him off the bench cold. So I would play him a lot more, have Derrick Rose play the two, but have Derrick Rose handle the ball. Defensively, you let Ntilikina play the one and just slow down Trae Young. Again, physical, hard fouls.
Well,
every time they go in the paint, they know they're going to pay for it with some pain. And I think that they have a chance then.
Well, if you remember game two, I thought the turning point was the hard foul Bullock had on Hunter. And I think that really turned the momentum in their direction. So you're right. You've got to do it strategically. You can't do it like you could in the mid-90s. But that doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of physicality. And if you do it at the right time, it could swing momentum. And I thought it did in game two.
And I think that what they, you know, you mentioned Bullock. He cannot be given the total responsibility of guarding Trae Young. It wears him out. And you need him. You need him offensively. And he's been a non-person other than the game they won. So take that responsibility away from him. Let him get back into the flow offensively. Hopefully he can hit some three-pointers along with Alec Burks. Because the last game when they lost in Atlanta, Randall did not have a bad game. Neither did Barrett. But no one else had a good game. They're going to need some help. Even if those guys have great games, they're going to need help from Burks and Bullock. They're going to need outside shooting. They're going to need Quickly to finally wake up, because he has been shut down completely, and they need a little bit more of Obi Toppin. Because Obi Toppin has shown he could be a force in the series. He's athletic. He's long. He's energetic. And when he's on the court, things happen. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be an interesting game, and I think the Knicks will win this one.
I didn't think about this until you brought it up with Ian in the last hour about what a difference one game could make. You know, go quietly into that good night in game five is a completely different feel than if you go and play a tough game, to win tonight, and then go and play another tough game and lose a game six in Atlanta. It's only one game difference, Michael, but I think losing in six, falling in Atlanta, a place where the Hawks never seem to lose, has just a much different feel than going quietly at home in game five, only winning one game, that and then losing three in a row to have the series end. It's only one game, but I think it has a totally different look.
This portion of the Michael K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit Two by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Let's go to the phones. Adam in D.C. Adam.
Hey, how you doing, Mike and Don? By the way, Mike, I heard good things about magnesium supplements to fall asleep.
What?
I don't know if you tried that before.
I didn't hear you. What?
Magnesium supplements. I heard good things about magnesium supplements to fall asleep.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I do take magnesium every day, but it hasn't helped. But thank you, Adam.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Hey, by the way, Mike and Don, you guys destroyed me on air last week, and deservedly so. I got on the air, you know, talking about, we've been, scrap metal out of junkyard for the last 20 years, and I came in crying about, what a little engine that could, but in fact, is we weren't even an engine. We were just spare parts, lying around somewhere, so deservedly so. Thank you. But I thought about this series, and you know what? As a Knicks fan, diehard Knicks fan, I'm resigned to the fact that Atlanta's more talented, and Trae Young is a great player, but the bottom line is, he's killing us in the screen and roll, getting whatever he wants. He's waving off the screen, just dancing, going in his bag, just breaking down our guys. We're trapping the pick and roll, and he's such a good ball handler. He has that ball on the string. He's just keeping up, that dribble alive, dribbling. They're finding his guys who's open, who can make a play. And then, at what point do we just trap him at half court? Because of the numbers that I saw a stat the other day about the points he's accounting for, from assists and scoring, and it's just crazy.
I worry about trapping him because that means you're going to take two people, and they've got people that make you pay. Bogdanovich makes you pay. Gallinari makes you pay. Two guys that Leon Rose wanted to sign during the offseason. Those guys will make you pay, and Trae Young, when he doesn't get his points, distributes. He's really good at it, so you have to be really careful if you decide to double down on him. Let's go to Kevin in Manhattan. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are
Love
you?
The show. Good, good. I'm surprised you guys haven't brought this up, but what do you think about attacking Trae Young on defense more? I feel like they're letting him guard Reggie Bullock. They're letting him stay in the corner. They're going to the opposite way of Reggie Bullock, and Trae Young's not having to guard at all. And I just feel like they're not taking advantage of him. I feel like I've watched the Hawks a lot, and that's what teams try to do. They try to take advantage of Trae Young on defense.
I like it. And if you could set picks and have him run into hard picks, that might slow him down just a little bit. But, he's guarding Bullock, and Bullock isn't doing anything. Bullock's not hitting any shots. So, he could go under screens and stuff like that. But if Bullock gets hot and he actually has to guard him, and then you start setting screens and you really hit him hard, that becomes a little bit of a strategy. Let's go to Spike in New Jersey. Spike.
Spike.
Hey, boys, here's the strategy for that. First of all, enjoy the game. I'm going to sign Xavier McDaniel to a 3-hour contract. That's, I think, what we need to do. But all joking aside, the strategy would be to Bullock is always by Randall. He shadows him so they could do a pick and pop. Randall's not a pick and roll player. He's an ISO player. Script the plays. In a football game, they script the first, 10 or 15 plays, something like that.
Right.
Script the first 10 plays on offense, take transition out of it. If it happens, you roll with it. And get Randall off. Get him off. Get him the first 7 or 8 of the 10 shots off of a side out curl, off of a screen, any which way from Sunday. Have him pull up, take that fadeaway. Remember when he couldn't miss that fadeaway? So let's get him, see how the ball comes off his hand, let him drop his shoulder, get a guy up in the air, get to the free throw line. For the first, before the first time out of 6 minutes, I want Randall to have 80% of the shots. You'll know right away. What do you think?
Yeah, the problem is he's not hitting those shots, though. Yeah. And they've been playing such savvy defense on him that he's not getting good looks. So, I mean, even if you – the Knicks have not run good plays, and that's not what they do. You know, they might say, okay, Randall has the ball, but, you know, even Thibodeau has said, just because you have a play call for you doesn't mean that you just don't pass it. He has not been reacting quickly to the doubles. He's not been getting rid of the ball as quickly as he did during the regular season. He's not hitting shots. So if you scripted all those plays for him and he comes out cold, then you're going to get blown out.
I mean, that's true, Michael, but he's still your best player, and you still want to find out about him. And I'm not saying you want to sacrifice this game, but part of what's cool about them being in the playoffs is to learn and get an experience in this situation. He's your best player. He's your best option. If you create, as Spike said, those opportunities and he fails, well, maybe you learn something about him going forward. But maybe he finds it, and now if he all of a sudden gets hot, Michael, and you win this game, well, then it doesn't look as daunting to win game 6 and 7 if you now have Randall engaged in being the player that he was in the regular season. So I like that idea. You can't be scared off by him not being able to do it. I want to know if he can.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because he has to have a big game.
We can talk about all the nitty-gritty details, playing physical, all the different things you can do. Randall has to be great tonight.
Yeah, great to the point of like 30 points.
Yeah.
No, he needs to hit 30 tonight. I'm not saying they can't win if he scores 25 points or 22 points, but to feel better about Randall and to maybe have some hope against hope that they could do something magical and make a comeback here. You want Randall to go off tonight, and he needs it.
Let's go to Kevin in Long Island. Kevin.
Hey, guys. Great show. Let out the air because game one kind of set the tone. As we see the rest of the series was blowouts, that first game was close. And it goes without saying that role players are role players because they don't give you that consistent effort on a night. So in a game that was closer and that we should have and could have won, just like to hear you guys take, and Pete just said it's going to be a miracle, magical for them to win this series. Let's know what you guys think. Thank you.
Well, I mean, game one, you can't really say it set the tone because they lost that game and then won the next one. So, I mean, it's big because the series would be 2-2 now. They would have held serve and maybe put more pressure on Atlanta going to Atlanta. Atlanta just wanted to split at the Garden, and they did. They could have won that game one despite everything going wrong.
And you could
but
say
as I said at the time, they won the game two, and not a lot of things went right.
Now, you could say it set the tone for Randall.
Right.
But he did have that big fourth quarter in game two that I thought maybe he'd be able to build off of. He ended up having the same amount of points, but there was a much better feel when that game was up for grabs in the fourth quarter and in that third quarter, and he came up and he did some things defensively and he hit some shots down the stretch and you felt better. He never built off of that. And then they went to Atlanta, and I'm sorry, that's not the response you were looking for. That's why winning this series, Michael, seems like an impossibility, because they've got to go back to Atlanta for game six.
If there's something that they could do that might be looked at as a little bit funky, what I might do to get him more playing time is I would put Randall at the center position and not play Taj Gibson as much, and then have Obi Toppin play the four. If you do that, you're going to get Toppin's athleticism, and he has played well. He really has. He's been a jolt every time he comes in the game. And you have Randall, you know, muscling up against Clint Capella. That's the way you can get Toppin some time, too. Let's go to Gerald in Houston. Gerald.
H-Town in the building. Yo,
how
Peter,
you doing?
Can we get some hardwood tonight?
And, Excuse me?
I just want to know what you guys think about getting Emmanuel quickly in the starting lineup. I think that could really change some things. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that route. I mean, he's been a real disappointment in the series. I mean, he's nothing like he played during the regular season. He's very streaky. But he has not been an offensive threat at all. No, I don't think I would start him. No, no way. I don't think he's ready for that. So, no, that's H-Town. I would not do that. He asked for a little hardwood tonight, Peter. That's what he wanted. He wanted you to make a pick.
I know what he wanted.
But you said what?
No, I said excuse me, because the way he said it sounded strange.
But, sex?
Right, you came up with a name.
So, Let me see one thing here, because I do have something.
I do have an ice pick coming up later in the hour, by the way.
Oh, great. Forget it.
Why?
How does that preclude you from hardwood?
Yeah.
Don's season of ice picks have been so bad that I worry it's throwing the juju off of everything.
But you say that, but the last time we did it together, I won. You lost. So why is it my fault?
Yo, how Peter, you doing? Can we get some hardwood tonight?
I put out my hardwood pick, Michael. I felt great about it. Then Don adds some ice pick, and it turned my hardwood into the worst pick I've ever made. The team literally turned into frogs. It was biblical.
Yeah, that was the Miami Buck game.
So I'm interested in the Knicks tonight. I'm interested.
Take the Knicks. Make that the wood.
You know what?
Well, let's get some odds here. Let's get people going.
Go find the button, Anthony. Find the button and hit the button.
Peter Rosenberg's Hardwood Pick of the Night.
If you got them on the money line, they're minus 120. If you take them at favored by a point and a half to cover, it's at minus 110.
Well, yeah, and that's standard issue, and that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to take the Knicks at they're given 1.5 points, and listen, I admit it, this is a pick with my heart, but I believe you can thank Mr. Clint Capella or Clint Coppola for this win, but I think the Knicks will be energized. They've shown too much heart throughout the course of the year.
Too much.
To fold up and have a gentleman's sweep. No. They will snatch one tonight. We'll see what happens in a couple of days. Take the Knicks giving 1.5. Go with Julius Randle. The Braids are back. He's going to go off for 30. Knicks will get the win. You'll win some money. Hard wood.
Interesting. I think the Braids look painful.
Like they're so tight?
Yeah, they're so tight.
That's how you know he's on it. He's got the tight braids. He put in time. He knew. Not only was it performance, but he knew I need to look good for the occasion. By the way, you know who looks like a...
I'm thinking that our next football pick segment, I might bet I'll have to braid my hair.
Ooh.
So you want to go full Will Ferrell in the Kevin Hart vehicle?
Yeah.
Well,
you have enough
Don,
hair to do it?
Don, it would
be... Do you think I have enough hair, Peter? Or do I have to grow it out?
I think you'd have to grow it out for a bit. And, Don, we'd have to find a new job, of course. But...
Why?
I don't think that look would play well right now.
Oh, it would be like appropriation, you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think for the sake of the joke, people would be on board. But
right.
What if
it's,
you...
It's a bet. I'm not trying to appropriate anything.
I got to tell you, though, how great would it be? I mean, just from a look standpoint, how ridiculous you would look. By the way, speaking of looks and athletes, you know who looks terrible?
Tell us.
Floyd Mayweather.
He's got a big fight this weekend.
He's got his fight this weekend, and for the most part, he cleans it up a little bit, but he's been doing this, like, shaggy beard and hair instead of being the clean-cut, bald Floyd we've always seen. It makes him look like he's fallen on hard times. It's not a good look. By the way, speaking of bizarro fights, and I admit, I'm going to get sucked into it. I'm going to fork over the money to see Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather. I'm an idiot. Did you guys hear about Triller's hire?
No.
Don, you'll find this interesting.
Okay.
Do you know who Triller hired for the new play-by-play on their fights?
Who?
Jim Lampley.
Really?
Wow.
Like, doesn't that sort of change what they're trying to do?
Oh, yeah.
It's a serious part of the comedy. It almost plays out like satire.
Well, so you think, so here's the question. And by the way, this weekend's fight is not Triller. It's a Showtime vehicle.
Right.
But for the next Triller fight that they have.
I think it's a brilliant play.
But do you think they continue to have the weed smoking and Snoop Dogg and everything and Jim Lampley?
Yes, and Jim Lampley is just simply Jim Lampley.
That's funny.
That would be good.
It would be like Vince Scully flying east to do Don's softball game.
Also, not a fan of Lampley.
Personally.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean,
why is that?
I think Andrew was there. I did an interview with him on the K show, and he could not have been more condescending. You remember
that,
Andrew?
He was expecting the K guy. I think that's it.
I don't know. I've got no use for him myself.
Shining Wizards Kevin said, so, Peter, you might say that Floyd is looking Mayweather.
You know what? That's why Kevin is Kevin.
That's why he's Shining Wizards. All right, so Wally Zerbiak is going to join us in just a moment, break down the Knicks. Zerbiak coming up.
Yeah, bring up,
in just
up Randall
moment.
At center with him.
I will. And then also, we'll give away Islander tickets before ENN. Yeah, it's going to be great. Great. Zerbiak next on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.